Let's go to the scripture for today's message, which comes from Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 through 21.
Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise.
Amen. Let's turn to people next to you and greet one another by saying, let's have another grace through the service. Let's have a grace through the service, servant. We will continue on with the title, The Road to Recovery. Do you wish to recover in your life? Ask the people next to you and greet one another by saying, do you want the recovery in your life? Let's respond by saying, amen. The road to recovery, I spoke about three principles. And number one, you must know who I am. You must know who you are. I am a sinner. I am someone who needed healing. But without you realizing it, you cannot find a true way to recovery. You must realize that you need the recovery in your life. So you must first understand who you are. We are a sinner. We are someone who deserves to die. And we are someone who daily, day by day, getting aged and getting a closer, one step closer to death. And our life is getting closer and closer to the death. And who will be there to help us and save us? And there's nothing but God. So therefore, we must believe in God who will give us recovery. Can you hear well? Can you hear okay, those of you who are with the hearing device, the ones who are listening to the interpretation? And we have recently afforded the interpretation device. So therefore, you must believe in the Word of God. Who will bring you a healing? It is no one but God. So So number two is trust. And number three is you not only trust, but you always has to choose God in your daily life. No matter what may happen in your daily life, and no matter how difficult you may be, you must continue to choose God and continue to have a faith in God and continue to have the faith in God and choose God. And fourth point that I want to talk about is liquidate your sin. And oftentimes, people do not like to hear about the sin at church. And many of us may feel like we have not done any a crime or done any unlawful thing out in the world. But why inside the church people talk about that we are a sinner? But it's not a lawful sin, but we are talking about a spiritual sin. And God does not judge you by your appearance, but God sees what's inside of you. So we must, before we find the recovery, we must, number one thing that we must do is we must settle our sin. And without liquidating our sin, we cannot experience the a salvation. We have the Bible in your hands. And what do you think the Bible is talking about? What do you think the story of the Bible is? If you ask me what the Bible is, I'll tell you, this is a story about the sin. When you look at the book of Genesis, it talks about the sins of Adam and Eve. And their descendants and his children, it commits a murder. And why was there the event of Noah's Ark and flood? It happened because people have sinned, and the Exodus happened because the people have sinned and they need to escape from the sin. And the reason why they need to, even after they have conquered the land of Canaan, and they continue on with the battles, and because, why? Because they have sinned. And the reason why that there have been many prophets being sent is because people have sinned and they needed to be recovered from the sin. And why was Jesus sent? Because we needed it to liquidate it, settle our sin. So if you said you're reading the Bible, and if you do not realize that, and you, if you do not try to liquidate your sin, and you, if you do not try to deal with your sin, does not make sense. So therefore, we must realize what sin we have, what kind of sinner we have. People talk about there is a power in the Bible, there is a miracle in the Bible. But before we get to that, we have to realize that we belong to this world of sin. So we have to separate ourselves from the world of the sin. So number one thing we must do before we try to understand the depth of the Bible, we have to understand that we are a sinner. And when you reflect yourself upon the Word of God, number one, very first thing, very best thing that you will realize is that you are a sinner and there is a sin within you. And so we must be able to realize that we are the sinner, and we must be able to liquidate our sin. And so I bless you today that you will be able to experience God's power through it. So we must understand this, that sin desires to have you. And when in the book of Genesis, when Cain, in the story of Cain and Abel, when there was a murder committed, and it talks about the sin approaching you, it appears to you to destroy you. So you must understand that sin is there to sin is after you in order for it to destroy you. And where does the sin begin with? Where does it start from? When you look at the book of 1 John chapter 3, it says, "He who does what is sinful is of the devil." Because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The very core of the devil itself is the sin. So this devil tried to make us another being of a sin. In other words, to commit a sin means you accept the devil in you. If you are committing a sin, it meaning that you are being obedient to the word of the devil. Why did Jesus come? Because in order for him to destroy the action of the devil, not only for us to live well and receive physical healing, but no, Jesus came so that we can settle, we can liquidate this sinful nature in us, so that we can cast out this demon, devil in us. Without us doing that, we cannot get to the recovery. We cannot get to the salvation. So that we must do this first to liquidate the sin within us. So number one, we must do this. Understand this. Sin causes me to lose myself. Who is Adam? Adam is in representation in the book of Hebrew. It talks about Adam as the very purpose of God's purpose. And it talks about, it reflect upon Adam that once someone sins, then they start to forget that there is a God. They start to sway away from God. So when you start to sin, they try not to talk about God, and they try to say something else. When I ask the question to someone, "Hey, who are you?" They talk about their occupation and what they like to do. You know what our very fundamental answer should be? That we are God's children. And when we start to sin, we forget that. We forget who we really are. And not only that, number two, sin causes us to lose our neighbors. It starts to make us who our loved ones are. Once you sin, your relationship starts to fall apart. And just like the people who commit crime, their relationships start to break. And because of that, they started commit the crime. And because the sin, not only it depart us from God, but it make us to depart us from our loved ones around us. And you may say, hey, we are not perfect being. We are human being. And, you know, it's natural for us to make mistake. And you may say that to yourself, but that's not what Bible says. Bible does not say you cannot escape from sin. That is not a word of God, but that is from the word of devil, trying to make you think like you it is okay for you to commit a sin and it is okay for you to live that way without repenting. God has not designed you to be a sinner. God has not designed you to live in sinful nature and sinful life. And in the end, what does sin hinder us from? Sin interfere us with revival. So in the book of 1 Peter, it says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And he's looking for his perfect victim, just like the lion roaring, looking for his food. And sin is doing that to your life, looking for you as another victim. You must realize that. You cannot say that, oh, that's just part of life. How can we live without sinning? How can we live a perfect life? No. If you become numb to the sin, you will become numb to the grace of God. If you can be sensitive to the sins of the nature, then you will become sensitive to the grace that you can receive. So you must realize the seriousness of this of yourself, being able to realize how much of a sinner you are or how much of a sin you have in you. And without you realizing, being able to realize that you cannot get to the next part of healing and recovery and grace of God. So next point I want to get to is, how can we cut off a temptation from the devil? Number one, we must ask ourselves, well, what did I do wrong? No, many of us try to examine and evaluate ourselves with the worldly standard. Have I been a good person? Have I done a good thing? No, those are not the point. Point is that you must reflect upon yourself, upon the Bible, upon the Word of God. And when you read the Bible, and when you look into a basic principle is of the Bible, is it says, repent, then God will give you healing. Repent, then God will give you salvation. And so therefore, when you look at the when you read the Bible, number one thing you must understand is that you are the sinner. You must reflect upon yourself so that you can reveal yourself, realize yourself as a sinner. When you read the Bible, you must realize that, oh God, I have not lived by the Word of God. Oh God, I have not lived by the teachings of God. So you must realize that you are the sinner, reflecting on yourself upon the Word of God. And there are many people who do not really fully get the point. And second question that I want to ask you is, what do you regret? Is there anything that you would like to hide? Even if you keep the Word of God away from yourself, and in the book of Romans says there is a conscience that will help you to realize that there is a Word of God, there is the voice of God inside of you. So it is built in you as an instinct and as a human nature. No, whenever we sin, there is a Word of God in our heart that speaks to you. And that is a spirituality of a conscience. And number three is a spirituality of your will. Asking yourself, what should be changed? And there are things that you need to make effort with your own will. Not doing what you're supposed to do are also defined as sin. You are supposed to sometimes serve, help, and love, and pray, and read the Bible. And you know certain things that you must do. You know certain things that you should do, and with your own will, and not following it, and abandoning such a responsibility as a someone who has experienced the grace. And those can be also defined as a sin. So number one, are you reflecting yourself upon the Word of God? Number two, are you reflecting yourself upon your own conscience, the spiritual conscience in you? Or number three, are you reflecting yourself upon your spiritual will? And these three things help you to realize the true purpose of Jesus Christ. And when you repent, you can not just say, "Oh God, you know my sin. Oh, please give me a healing." Bible does not say sin is just big general thing and big a vague thing. And when you look at the Bible, it talks about the very a detail of a very specific sins, not to do certain things and to do certain things. So therefore, you can reflect upon the Word of God so that what you're doing wrong, exactly what you can change and what you can do to make things better for yourself. Do not just come to God and say, "God, you know my sin, and help me to help give me a healing and give me a cleanse." And reflect upon the Word of God and ask God, "Have I not loved someone? Have I hated someone? Have I gossiped someone? And have I not done enough for a care for someone?" And there are things that Bible talks about as what you should do, and reflect upon it. And you cannot just say that, "Oh, I asked for healing and I asked for repentance last month, and therefore I don't have to do it anymore." No, you have to do it in regular basis, and every day and day by day, as you examine yourself, as you check yourself, you are able to not only come to repentance, but through it you are able to refill yourself, and then you allow you to relive the experience of the grace of God. So we must check ourselves, not just do in a vague or in general a way, but you have to, with the specification of the Word of God, you must check yourself. Please check yourself. Check yourself. Just like the a inspector, a search on a investigation or the crime scene, and with the specification as much detail as possible, reflect yourself upon the Word of God. Don't do it upon your neighbor or the people that you want to people around you, but do it to yourself. And next point, let's say you have realized what your sins are. Number two, you must acknowledge your sin. It does not matter how much you have sinned. There is no weight to the sin. And it does not matter if there's a big or small sin. There is no such thing. And the sin is sin. But oftentimes, we like to find a point of finger and blame other people. "Oh, it's because of my neighbor. Oh, because of my circumstances. Oh, because of my parents. Because of my church." The very person who is committing the sin is yourself. Do not say it happened because of other people. And do not make a compromise. Do not make it smaller than it is. Do not try to justify it. And no. It doesn't matter whether people know it or not. God knows, and you know. And even if you think you can find a one person of wrongdoing, God may ask you for the responsibility of it. And when you come to acknowledge your sin, do not just say, "Oh, I acknowledge," but do it with all your heart. The Bible says, Jehovah keeps the one with the broken heart and sincere heart. And God does not love the devil, But we love the sin and we love the devil, and that causes us the problem. So we must confess our sin, and we must confess it by God. I've listened to the devil. God, I follow the sinful way. And God, I ask you to heal me and forgive me. And when you ask for the forgiveness, don't try to force it. Some people may say, God, I ask for your forgiveness this much. Why can't you give me a forgiveness? I've done enough. No, that's not the way. The only person who has power to forgive is God Himself. You don't have a corner of truth, and you don't have right to ask God, God, shouldn't you forgive me by now? My sin is small, or I've done enough asking. And number two, no promising. And do not say, God, I will never sin again. You know, we cannot keep our promise. You know, like many of us, we cannot make promise because we don't know what we'll do. But just talk about, God, I have done this wrong, forgive me. Don't make it a conditional. And number three, don't negotiate. If you forgive me, I will do this. If you help me, I'll give you more offering. If you forgive me, I'll commit more things. And this is a bad culture that has evolved through the age of Catholic. And when there and there has been a time that the Catholic has believed that if there was a certain level amount of offering, then you will receive a certain level of a forgiveness. No, God does not work that way. But the Bible says, if you confess your sin, all you have to do is that, God, I have done this wrong. Don't say, God, I've done this, so here I give you this condition, a thing. And all you gotta do is just, God, I have committed this sin, and I am a worthless person. Do you think you deserve any a qualification to receive a healing or receive a salvation? None of us have any qualification to receive any of the a grace. So therefore, we do not have a ability, a capacity to negotiate the grace with God. When you look at the book of Ezra, while Ezra was praying and confessing, weeping and throwing himself down before the house of God, a large crowd of Israeli men, women, and children gathered around him. They too wept bitterly. That's all you need to do. All you need to do is just feel bitter about your own sin and just cry out and confess to God that you are a sinner. So we must do this. We must reflect upon ourselves and realize our sin and acknowledge it and ask for the forgiveness. And number four, which is the most important thing and very highlight of our message, is to have Jesus remain in you. Ask God, ask Jesus to come to you. In the book of Matthew says, this is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. This is the a blood of the covenant. When it says to drink, and when it says to eat, it means to you take a participation of in the action. When you eat it, you let it become part of you. When you drink it, you let the food or drink that you drink become part of you. And so therefore, when it says drink the blood as a covenant, and meaning that you let the blood of Jesus to flow through you and let it become part of you. And in the world, however, there are two types of the blood. It represents, number one, it represents in my own blood. And what does your own blood represent? It represents the death. And no matter how hard you try, it has limit. No matter how hard you think, how deserving you may think, there is a death. And in the blood, blood of Jesus, there is an eternity and there is a power to salvation. So therefore, we must not let our own blood to be a sole power to control ourselves, but let the power of blood of Jesus to be part of us so that we can join the salvation. We can join the a grace and a healing. So we must come and ask, God, I take this blood, let your blood to flow through me. But what if in your body, if there is a part of your body your blood does not flow through, then that part of the body will decay and will not function properly. So when you drink the blood of Jesus, when you take the blood of Jesus, when you let it become part of you, you must understand that you must let it become part of every part of you, not just one part. But you know, when we live our life, because we are still full of our own blood, we go out and we still speak of a sinful things. We still do an action that are not that does not belong to Jesus. When this cup is filled with the water already, we cannot pour in the water anymore. We must empty out the cup in order for it to be receive another glass of water. So therefore, we must do the same thing. We must empty ourselves and give to God. Our life is limited. We can only live 70 to 100 years. But the blood of Jesus Christ is forever. To give up your life does not mean that you have to die right away. But you have to give up your own desire. And you give up your own time and do things what is more valuable. So and center, live a God-centered life and live a God-priority life. And when you can live such life, then you let God and you let Jesus to live through you. No matter how much of a repentance you do, if you do not invite the Jesus Christ, if you do not let the blood of Jesus Christ to live in you, then that is not the true repentance, and that does not complete your repentance. And when you look at the first book, when you look at the 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 through 12, this is the one who came to the water and the blood. Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and with the blood. And it says, when there is the when there's a baptism with the water, it's not just with the water, but it is symbolizing the baptism with the blood of Jesus. And then it says, because the Spirit is the truth, for there is a three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And water represents the cleansing, and we need to clean ourselves from the sin. And blood representing that Jesus died for us instead of our own sin. So water and blood both water represented a cleansing of our sin, and blood representing of the revival and the salvation that we receive through the Jesus, and then it representing the Spirit of God. And all these is so. All this is for us to repent and find recovery in God. So it is important for us to come to church and serve and understand the Bible. But the very fundamental, a very principle of all this is so that for us to recover in God, so that we can repent, we can come clean in God. So when you look at the next verse, it says this, and the testimony is this. The God has given us the eternal life. It talks about the eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. It says, if there is a God in you, then there is a life in you. If there is a son in you, then there is a life in you. If no son in you, then there is no life in you. Without the blood of God in you, if you're only full of your own blood in you, then you do not have a true life in you. You are a limited being. You cannot live. You can only live a limited time. So therefore, you must repent and come clean in God. Why do we need to repent over and over and over again? Because just as blood circulates, we need to let the blood of Jesus circulate in us, and so that we can live and over and over and over again. So number one thing we must do is we must do this immediately. And number two, and this we must do it freely without any condition. And number three, we must do it completely, meaning we have to give all in to be sincere and truthful to it. And when we do it, Bible says, "For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." And it's just, even I am he who blots out your transgression for my own sake and remember your sins no more. And it says, those of you who has the Son in your heart, I give you this promise, a promise of the blood and power of the blood and power of the salvation. But what is the problem? And many of us still go commit sinning, even after we say we believe in Jesus Christ. Yeah, haven't we done that? But Bible says this, and it talks about the two kind of sins. And there's type of sins that will lead you to the destruction, and there's a type of sin that will not lead you to the death. It says, if there is someone who is committing a sin of death, then you cannot save that person. If there is someone who commit it that does not lead to the death, then go save that person. It says, what? Do you mean that there is a type of sin that can be forgiven and that cannot be forgiven? Wait, but doesn't Jesus forgive all kind of sin? No, Bible talks about two kind of sin. There actually is a type of sin that cannot be forgiven. And Book of Mark, it says this, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. He is guilty of an eternal sin. Meaning that whoever tried to corrupt against the work of Holy Spirit, and such person's sin cannot be forgiven. In other words, if you do not believe in Jesus, you cannot forgive Jesus. You cannot receive the forgiveness. In other words, simply it's just saying that if you do not believe in Jesus Christ, you cannot receive the forgiveness. So therefore, we must accept Jesus Christ. We must accept Jesus in our heart. And Jesus' blood must be flowing through us. So therefore, what does it mean to repent? It means to give my sin and hand over my sin to Jesus so that he can carry my sin instead of me. I giving up my sin that deserves the death. And we pass it over to Jesus and let Jesus die for us. We're not talking about the financial burden. We're not talking about the physical burden or because you are sick or you are tired. We're not talking about that, but we're talking about the spiritual burden. And Jesus was saying that, what can you do with this sin that you cannot settle with yourself? You do not have answer for yourself. Jesus is saying that, come to me, I will help you. Come to me, I will carry this on. I will help you settle this completely. And then, and all we have to do is just come to Jesus and give it to Jesus and acknowledge that he is the only one who can settle this sin. And what can you do if you do not do this? Then there is no forgiveness. Only way to receive forgiveness is through Jesus Christ. And you may say, you know, starting one point, you start to live with your own will and own desire and you forget about Jesus in your life. When you look at the book of Hebrews chapter 10, it talks about the very scary concept. It says, how much severe punishment do you think he will deserve if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, the sacrifice for sin is left. What does it mean to be sinning even after you believe in Jesus? It means you step on Jesus Christ. Not just saying that I am doing wrong because I'm sinning, but you are stepping on Jesus Christ. And you are ignoring the Jesus Christ who has died on the cross for your sin. And number three, that you are making yourself, you are bringing to the shame, to the salvation, by doing the wrong action. So what is devil doing? What is true purpose of devil? Not to destroy you, but so that the devil is trying to destroy the Jesus Christ and try to bring shame to the name of God. But what do we do? We still commit sin. We still step on Jesus Christ. We still do the wrong things and bring shame to His name through our own action. And still try to justify ourselves that we are okay because we received this repentance and salvation. Why? Because we stop, let the blood of Jesus Christ flow through us. Then what must we do? If we sin, then we must, it's not a matter of, oh God, I've gossiped, oh God, I've lied. It's not a matter of such sin. But true repentance is about, God, I do not have God in you. God, I do not have Jesus in me. It does not matter whether you're a liar or you've done the wrong things, but whether do you have a Jesus Christ in you or not, that's what it matters. And when you always think about how much money you can make, you always think about like how well you can live, but where is Jesus in your heart? That is the true sin, that you living without Jesus Christ in your heart. And think about, then the Bible says, think about this, the sin of not living with the Jesus Christ in your heart. Think about it. Ask yourself, do you have the blood of Jesus Christ in your heart? Do you have Jesus in your life? And many of us says, you know, as I live a spiritual life, committing a sin becomes easier and easier. And you justify yourself, everyone's doing it. Hey, how can I not do it? It's okay. Is not coming to a service on Sunday, is it a sin or not? You know, whether you are physically here or not, it does not justify whether it's a sin or not. More important question is, where is your heart? The true honesty of your heart. You did not come to church because you do not find the heart of Jesus Christ in your heart. And if you do not find the heart of Jesus in your heart, and that if it that becomes a reason why you do not serve other, if that becomes a reason why you do not love other people, not having the Jesus Christ in your heart is the true reason for your sin, and that is the true reason for repentance. Ask yourself, do you have Jesus Christ in your heart? If you do not find Jesus Christ in your heart, that is a sin. Even if you're present here today, even if you're serving at a kitchen, even if you're serving for whatever the ministry may be, no matter how good things you may do, not having the Jesus Christ in your heart is the true sin, which needs to repent us. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, we must live and we must act and we must speak. That's why we need to be able to hold on to the cross and blood of Jesus Christ. And how can we let the blood of Jesus to flow in us? only the people who can repent. Not just come to repent, but we must do what the method that we talked about. Number one, we must check ourselves, examine ourselves. And number two, we must acknowledge and confess ourselves. Number three, we must ask for forgiveness. And number three, we must ask for change and make an effort to, a willingness to change. And there's nothing really for us to do. We cannot heal and change ourselves. We do not have power to do so. We cannot change our being. All we have to do is examine ourselves to the Word of God and confess and acknowledge and ask for forgiveness. And it says, those who does that, Jesus will come to that person and Jesus will pour out His grace and blood upon that person. And when you're able to realize that you are a sinner, then you will find it's just such a fire in your heart that you cannot do nothing but ask for repentance. You must repent. The true core, a principle of sins, that whether you have Jesus Christ in your heart or not. So you must pray not just for, oh, let me not do this kind of thing, let me do this kind of thing, but you must pray for whether you have a Jesus Christ in your heart or not. You ask God, God, do I have a Jesus Christ in my heart? Is blood of Jesus flowing in my heart? And many of us, even with such opportunities that we have, we allow ourselves to have, we do not repent, we do not come see for Jesus. And the Bible says, see that no one is, it's just they miss an opportunity to repent, and it talks about the a type of sin they commit. Even if they come to a believer, even if they accepted Christ, they continue to commit sins, and they ask for the blessing, crying out their tears and shouting out, but they forgot to repent. Repenting is not crying your tears, but repenting meaning you let the blood of Jesus Christ to flow through you. And if you do not do this, even if you cry your tears out, you will not receive the true repentance. You will not receive the true recovery even if you cry out. The opportunity of repentance does not come to you every day. When you look at the book of Revelation, and when the end day comes, when the stars are falling down, and when there is a all kind of signs of the end days, and it says people still do not repent, what does this mean? You cannot repent just because you want to. It means when you see for the repentance in God, the repentance comes from Jesus and repentance comes from God. It must be permitted. It must be allowed from God. Don't think that you can repent anytime. Who takes away this privilege is yourself. You thinking that you can repent any times, you may surely could lose your privilege to repent. And if you want to have a true repentance, it can only come from Jesus Christ. And it only when the blood of Jesus can be received, and when the blood of Jesus can be given upon you. And therefore, you must, when you are able to have that, you can live by the Word of God. You can live by the blood of God. So therefore, if you want to truly live your life according to the Word of God and with the power of the blood of God, then you must ask God that, God, I have lost you. I have forgotten you. So you must come and confess and acknowledge yourself as a sinner and ask God to recover you. And Jesus says to those of you who have a burden, come and seek for me and I will remove this burden. And it says to repent. We must understand that not everyone who cries their tears could receive their recovery. The word that you says, the thought you think can destroy and step on and in the name of Jesus Christ and bring shame to Jesus. And the action that you do, if it brings a shame to Jesus and brings a shame to the name of God, how serious would such a sin be? And the heart that you have in you, when you do not live and when you do not speak not according to the blood of Jesus Christ in you, then it is a sin. So you must understand that you must not just repent, but I want you to realize that you must repent with your heart, with your sincereness, asking God, realizing that it is not about anything else, but the only thing you need to, only thing that really matter is the you not having the Jesus Christ in your heart. Then you must come to God with the seriousness and sincereness. God, please come to me. Just I ask you to give me forgiveness. I ask you and I bless you that you, all of us, become the people who will find a complete recovery in the name of Jesus Christ.